Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, as we turn to your word, help us to do so, listening very carefully for your still, small voice, speaking to us personally today, and corporately as one big church. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I kind of start with the sermon, today is International Women's Day. So it's Mothering Sunday next Sunday. So it's like 7 days to celebrate the women in our lives. I think that's a good thing, isn't it? 7 days to thank the women in our lives for the sacrifices that they make, you know, for the care that they offer to us. And I want to kind of dedicate this sermon today to a very special woman that we find in the Bible that transformed a whole village. A few years ago, a group of psychologists ran an unusual experiment. They gave people a backpack and asked them to walk across a field. Half of the group were told the backpack contained important equipment. The other half were told it contained things that they didn't really need. Both backpacks weighed exactly the same. But something fascinating happened. The people who believed that they were carrying something unnecessary reported the walk as much harder. The hill looked steeper, the distance felt longer, the journey felt exhausting. Exactly the same weight, different meaning. And I sometimes wonder if that's what life feels like for many people today. We're carrying work responsibilities, family worries, health concerns, expectations, brokenheartedness. The weight may be the same as previous generations, but somewhere along the way we've lost the sense that it means something. So people just keep walking, keep working. You know, sometimes life feels a bit like the line from the song Fix You by Coldplay. When you try your best, but you don't succeed. Many people know exactly what that feels like. You try your best to hold things together. You try your best to stay hopeful. You try your best to keep going. And yet something inside feels dry. Something inside whispers, is there more than this? And you see, that question takes us to an ancient well in the Gospel of John, where a tired woman arrives carrying a jar. And she leaves carrying a message that changes an entire village. I want you to note, this was at a well. It wasn't in a synagogue. It wasn't in a church. It didn't happen on a stage. It happened beside a well. And the question that sits at the heart of that story is the same one that sits in front of us today. Will we leave our jar? Will we leave our jar? Jesus is travelling from Judea to Galilee. Most Jewish travellers in the day would have taken the long road around Samaria. But John writes something striking. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Not because of geography, but because grace had an appointment. Samaria today sits in what we know as the West Bank in Palestine. We think the Bible isn't relevant today, and yet we have a story centered on what is going on today. Jesus went to the West Bank in Palestine. Even in Jesus' time, it was a place Jews avoided. But Jesus goes straight through it at noon, the hottest moment of the day. He sits beside a well. He's tired. He's thirsty. He's waiting. Then a woman arrives. Alone, she comes at noon because shame prefers solitude. And Jesus says something shocking. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. Not a sermon, not a lecture, just a conversation. I think revival does not begin with strategies or banners. It begins with thirst. It was a tired afternoon, a difficult week, a quiet walk, a chance conversation. The gospel doesn't float above our lives. It sits beside our well and asks for a drink. See, if we're waiting for lightning bolts from heaven, we may miss Jesus sitting on our garden wall. Because God is spectacular in the mundane. God starts with the ordinary. And I just want to say that to all of us today. This was at a well. She had to go to the well to draw the water. It was in her working day, right in the middle of the very things that she was doing, that she was interrupted. Will we allow God to interrupt our working day, our working week? The conversation, of course, should not be happening. A Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher, speaking publicly to a Samaritan woman. Ethnic barriers, religious barriers, gender barriers, moral complexity. In that culture, the Samaritans were often dismissed as religious outsiders. They were called half-breeds. And yet Jesus speaks with her. I think it's really interesting, you know, that who we sometimes say we can speak to and we can't speak to. Yet Jesus crosses all of those barriers to get to someone. And even more surprising, I think, here is he asks her for help. I mean, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? He asks her for help. I am thirsty. The Son of God, who created the oceans, who created all the water in the world, says, I am thirsty. He places himself in a position of need. Why would that be the case? I think it's because relationship dignifies people. I think it's so important that actually every person that we meet actually is so important to God. Relationship is utterly vital. Jesus doesn't approach as some sort of an inspector. He approaches as a participant in her life. And then the conversation deepens. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him and he would give you living water. I mean, the hilarity of this kind of passage is that she thinks he's talking about plumbing and says, you've got nothing. You've got nothing to draw with here. I mean, it's humorous, really. But Jesus is talking about something deeper. Living water, not religious performance. It's not Sunday top-ups. It's not borrowed spirituality. It's a source within. You know, is this important? You know, is there more to life than we are perhaps experiencing right now? I think it would be fair to say that work at times drains people. Comparing ourselves to other people drains us. Social media drains us. Even at times, church conflict drains us. Jesus doesn't promise the sun will stop beating down at noon. He promises a well inside the heat. And again, this is the claim Jesus is making, that there's actually more to life than working 9 to 5, getting utterly drained, and then repeating the same thing week after week after week. That there's more to life. He gets personal with her. Go call your husband. She's had 5. She's had 5 husbands. Which one do you want me to call here? She's got a complicated present. Jesus is not exposing her to humiliate her. He is revealing a truth so he can heal her. Most people defined her by her past. Jesus defines her by her future. And I think that's really, really important. You know, some of us are caught with what our mums and dads may have said about us, what a business person may have said about us, what a colleague at work said about us. But Jesus defines us by who we could possibly be. And suddenly, she realizes something. She realizes that she has been seen. And this is where everything changes. See, God starts with the ordinary, the mundane, the normal kind of workplace, you know, interrupting the day. He then crosses barriers. And then, the encounter that changes a village. It's a small detail, very small in the passage. John writes, she left her water jar. She left her water jar. Why mention the jar? There's no reason to mention the jar. Why would you mention it? It's a jar. Why would you mention that? That's ridiculous. She left her water jar. What on earth does that add to anything? It's because it represents everything she came for. See, it was the routine. She came at noon because this was about survival. She was existing. She was isolated. She had shame. She came for water. But she leaves with purpose. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. By the way, a bit of exaggeration there. I don't think he did. I don't think he told her everything I ever did. A bit of a hyperbole there. So for those of us like me who like a bit of hyperbole at times, not quite right, but in a sense, she was seen. And she runs back to the village. She runs back to the village. You know, on International Women's Day, the first evangelist in the Gospels is a woman. Is a woman. Yes, some might say Andrew, but Andrew, he went to find his brother. But this woman went to tell her entire village. She doesn't have a polished theology. She hadn't been on an evangelism training course. She just had an encounter with Jesus. I don't think evangelism is about winning arguments. It's one beggar telling another beggar where there's bread. And suddenly, because she has been transformed, the village begins moving toward Jesus. One conversation, one awakened heart, and an entire community begins to change. By the time the disciples had come back with their Subway lunch, Jesus had turned a private conversation into a village revival. About 55 years ago, a woman named Jackie felt like her life had fallen apart. She'd had 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. One child had been given away. One was living with a relative. Only one was living with her. Her true love, the man she loved, had also been sent away. And now she'd been forced into a marriage with an alcoholic husband. Her family life felt scattered. Her life felt heavy. One Sunday, she walked past a small church and stepped inside. And something simple happened. People smiled. People said hello. Nobody judged. They simply welcomed her. And in that welcome, she encountered Jesus. Not as someone distant, but as someone who understood her pain, her mistakes, and her longing. Her brokenness wasn't hidden, it was held. And she discovered God didn't need her life to be perfect to love her. He simply invited her to come. And in that church, 55 years ago, she found a well of grace, a place to drink deeply, and a place where hope returned. I know that story well because I am one of Jackie's children. One conversation, one welcome, one encounter with Jesus, and a family story changed. So let's bring this closer to home. Where are you drawing water from right now? Is it success? Is it a career? If I achieve enough, I'll finally feel secure. Is it approval? If people like me, I must be okay. Is it busyness? If I keep moving, I won't have to face what's underneath. Or maybe your well is control, trying to manage a future that refuses to be managed. Or could be distraction, scrolling and streaming, so we never have to sit with the thirst of those wells that promise life. But all of those things make us keep coming back with the jar. And that's exhausting. Jesus does not shame us for visiting those wells. He simply says, there is more. That is the claim of the Christian life. There is more. Living water. There's a line from the song You Say by Lauren Daigle that captures the difference between our wells and Christ's water. In it, she says, when I don't feel a thing, you say I am strong. When I think I am weak, you say I am held. See, the wells of the world would say, prove yourself. Jesus says, receive. Receive. So, three simple responses this week. Identify your well. Where are you seeking validation? Secondly, leave one jar behind. One habit not rooted in Jesus. And pray a dangerous prayer. Lord, who are you already sitting beside today? And how can I join you in that conversation? Then have one well conversation. Not preachy, not pressured, just present. Because encounter with Jesus always leads to mission. Finally, we are just 4 weeks from Easter. Jesus thirsted on the cross so we could overflow with life. He crossed Samaria so that we could cross our villages here in Saddleworth. He sat beside wells so that we could become one. And he's still sitting beside wells today, in cafes, in workplaces, our school runs, in ordinary conversations. The only question is this: will we recognize him? And when we do, will we leave our jar? Amen.